Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Well, and as Meatloaf would say, two out of three ain't bad. All right? So, hey, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to another edition of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. Man, we're glad to have you here with us this morning, and thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. I am Randy Bergen. The other third is Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach, good to see you. Of course, Mark has a weekend off, and it's a much-needed rest for him.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Bayside had the night off, and so it's only normal for Mark to be able to take this weekend off and to get away, and he and Michelle are spending a weekend together. And, boy, I know it's a big relief to Mark, I can tell you, because game planning and all that he does to try to get ready to play a game, and then – once the game's over, he's still got work to do, and then getting up at early times to do a radio show is hard sometimes for Mark.
You know, Coach, obviously we're doing games now. We're doing play-by-play and broadcasting games. And one of the things, and I don't know that all the fans understand this, so I kind of want to just break it out just a little bit. There is so much that goes on behind the scenes that the fans don't see.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're talking about with Mark. You talk about the band, the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Last night at Daphne, they had homecoming. I mean, it's just in amongst all the rain that I didn't know was coming.
We didn't expect it, did we?
No. My goodness.
Well, I want to give you credit for getting the tent up, but there wasn't. It wasn't us. It was that Daphne had provided that.
That's right.
Because the superstars of high school TV were there. And, you know, when we kind of get pushed into the back seat when that happens, and that's okay. That's okay. We had a great seat.
Coach, you know, and we got a great guest lineup for you here. And one of these guys had the opportunity to play in the professional ranks. And we're going to talk about him in just a second.
Yeah.
But, Coach, you got professional ranks, which is who you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And then you got AAA. And that's where we are, is a AAA.
Well, you're AAA, Randy. You're major league as a play-by-play guy. Telling you. And this is something I've recognized, Randy. The older you get, we ain't nearly as good as we once thought we were.
Toby Keith had a great song on that one, didn't he?
Yeah, and I need to listen to that because when you're working with Randy, you realize how talented he is.
Oh, my.
And then I'm just stuttering around trying to find the right words to say. And they used to come easy, but they don't come easy anymore, Randy. It's just it's a lot of fun doing what we do when we get to do it the way we want to do it.
Prevagen. That's all I can say. I'm taking a bottle a night. So, oh my goodness!
Well, that's great advertisement, Randy.
There you
go. Just send them an invoice.
There's no doubt about it. Hey, we got a lot to get into today. Of course, we're going to start doing the scores from around the state in just a few moments. We got the True Grit Award that we'll be giving out. Four recipients of that that will tell you who they are in just a little bit. At 8:30, we'll talk a little McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets with Coach David Fulton. Of course, they got a win last night over Davidson, 42-7.
Yeah, it's a big win there, too. And, you know, David Faulkner, of course, he and Mark coached together at Alma Bryant years ago. But you're talking about one of the guys, Randy, that is so proficient as an offensive play caller, such a great offensive mind. And I'm going to tell you right now, everybody, we see it everywhere. There is a hunger to get these bright offensive minds into their program, and certainly McGill Tulane's got a great one in David Faulkner.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mentioned a professional. Well, at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk to him, our very good friend, Coach Glenn Vickery. Of course, he got inducted to the Davidson Hall of Fame last night, former college player and coach and high school coach. Of course, he was at Coach at Daphne for many years and took him to a state championship. And I tell you, Glenn is he's a good one. And Coach, we do have on his contract he gets a minimum of 8 minutes. Okay, so. Oh my goodness!
Randy, that's good. Nancy may put that on him too. She may say, "Honey, you only get 8 to 10 minutes,
yeah.
So we're not getting you more than that." We could keep you for 2 hours.
He told me one time I had him on. I think I don't know. It was like 5 minutes or something. He said, "No, Randy, look, here's the deal. Okay. 8 minutes is my minimum." Okay. I'm like, okay, Coach, for now that's what it is. All right. So anyway, we're excited to have Coach Glenn Vickery on. That happens at 9 o'clock. At 9:30, bottom of the second hour, we'll head over to Alma Bryan, home of the Hurricanes. They get a win last night over Citronelle, 18-13. We'll talk with Bart Sessions.
Two good football teams last night. And I mean, both of them have struggled a little bit, especially Alma Bryant struggled. Citronelle is really a good physical football team, and that's a good win for Bart and the Alma Bryant Hurricanes. So just glad we'll get a chance to talk to Bart and David Faulkner this morning, because two coaches that are really, you know, trying to get those programs going in the direction that they need it to be going. So that's kind of a good time to have them on.
Coach, before we get into scores, we need a little bit of a sad note. Last Thursday night, Spanish Fort played Murphy at Ladd People Stadium. About 3 minutes and 26 seconds before halftime, had a little incident down in the end zone. We talked a little bit about it last Saturday.
Yeah.
But the result wasn't what we were hoping for.
No, and it's we talked to Robert Lowe's, who's the director of officials in Southwest Alabama, and Shot, as we call him, had his evaluator the game, and David Anders is that evaluator. And if that Anders name sounds familiar, that his family, Ron Anders, is the mayor of Auburn and does a lot for the Alabama High School Athletic Association, working with them and is a friend of high school sports. And David, outstanding football official, and he'd coach Little League, Randy. We all remember our Little League coaches in Little League football and baseball, and so well-liked and so well-respected. So David had action coming towards him, and he backed up. When he backed up, he failed, and nobody could really figure out why he failed. He had a stroke, and
it was a mini-stroke at that time, right?
At that time, it was a mini-stroke, and we had some problems. Ambulance was not on location, which is to me a problem. But he didn't get him to the hospital. Ambulance finally got there about 35 minutes later.
Yeah,
and he passed away the following day. And it's just a tragedy, and we lose a wonderful family man. His son is Kevin, I think, is now a football official.
He is,
and. See that, Randy? It's tragedy. That's the best way to describe it.
Well, it brings up the question, and the ambulance wasn't there. But that's typically the responsibility of the school. I know we're not going to dive into that deep, but Coach Chase Smith was here last Saturday. We talked a little bit about it with him.
Yeah.
That's something that's just – you don't leave that little piece out of the puzzle here.
There's no cost. There's no cost that can replace a life. And there's no cost that should ever be. We just got to have them there. We just got to have an ambulance on site. It could be anybody, spectator, band, cheerleader.
Fan,
that's right. And, we've had a lot of problems at Ladd in the past, and you would think that would be really be one of the primary places that we'd want to have an ambulance.
Certainly a priority, for sure.
Yeah, it should be. That's
well,
right.
keep your prayers and thoughts with the Anders family.
Absolutely.
As they still go through that, for sure.
Amen.
It's really tough, really tough. Coach, I didn't mention, we're almost at time for our first time out, but you got the Grace segment coming up at Camp Grace segment coming up at 9:45.
And we want to, the Camp Grace segment has become such a wonderful part of our show, when we get – Randy, get more compliments on the way Mark does that and the message that he sends. And it's always tough to do it when he's not here, because you try to meet his standards. You really do. I know, so I get a note from Clay here about the AHSAA must mandate it. Well, they can't mandate that about the
ambulance.
About the ambulance. They can't do that. But they certainly – they recommend it highly.
Why could you not? Why would that not be? I mean, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great question, Randy. I don't know that answer. And I really don't. I'll talk to Steve Savarese at some point in time, really try to find that out.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go around the state. We'll give you all the scores, and they're going to be coming at you hard and fast, I'm telling you. So get ready as the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, it continues right here on a beautiful Saturday morning.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland. Coach Mark Laster has a very well-deserved weekend off. So, Coach, we're going to hit it. We're going to hit it hard. Here come the scores right at you. We'll start Class 7A. Albertville, 20. Grissom, 18. Auburn Bryant with a win over Citronelle, 18-13. Auburn, 41. Moody, 7. Daphne wins over Spanish Fort, 42-28. Fairhope defeats Theodore, 31-7. Hewitt-Trustful, 49. Pinson Valley, 6. Hillcrest-Tuscaloosa, 27. Hueytown, 26. Very good game there. Hoover, 45. Parker, 42. Another great game. IMG Academy out of Florida, 49. Central Phoenix City, 14. Coach, is that a missed print?
No.
Okay.
No.
Jag, 34. Percy Julian, 27. Mary Montgomery, 45. Ballin County, 0. That was a Thursday night game. Opelika, 27. Pike Road, 12. Robertsdale gets a win over Orange Beach, 22-18.
In Class 6A, Athens, 28. Hazel Green, 0. Excuse me. Benjamin Russell, 60. Charles Henderson, 23. Brookwood, 22. Chilton County, 6. Central Tuscaloosa, 49. Gardendale, 14. Chelsea, 37. Paul Bryant, 18. Clay Chalkwell, 28. Thompson, 24 on Thursday night. Coleman, 24. Brewer, 11. Decatur, 35. Lee of Huntsville, 12. Fort Payne, 34. Mortimer Jordan, 14. Gadsden City, 27. Bob Jones, 24. Hartsville, 48. Woodlawn, 8. Jasper, 34. Dora, 9. May Jemison, 34. Sparkman, 27. McGill Tulin Catholic, 42. Davidson, 7. Mountain Brook, 25. Homewood, 24. We'll talk about that game, Randy. Oxford, 42. Helena, 7. Rehoboth, 28. Cottonwood, 16. Russell County, 44. Valley, 34. Southside, 21. Etowah, 10. Spain Park, 28. James Clemens, 7. Stanhope Elmore, 35. Smith Station, 21. St. Paul's Episcopal, 41. Faith Academy, 7. And Wetumpka, 36. Eufaula, 32.
Let's go to Class 5A. Andalusia, 21. Beauregard, 7. Ardmore, 41. Madison County, 20. Boaz, Blanks, Geraldine, 20-0. Carver, Birmingham, 36. Jackson, Olin, 20. Central, Clay County, 26. Scottsboro, 9. Corner, 17. Jacksonville, 7. Demopolis over Aliceville, 34-12. Douglas, 40. New Hope, 7. East Limestone, 34. West Limestone, 0. John Carroll Catholic, 47. Montevallo, 7. Lawrence County, 41. Haleville, 12. Leeds over Briarwood Christian, 29-28. Northside, 40. Lincoln, 13. Ramsey, 56. Minor, 26. Sipsey Valley, 20. Marbury, 19. St. Clair County, 42. Shelby County, 7. Sylacauga, there you go, Coach. They defeat Jamison 43-36. UMS Wright, 29. T.R. Miller, 6. Winona, 21. Huffman, 14. West Point, 42. Hayden, 12. And Williamson, 100. Murphy, 0.
In Class 4A, Alexandria, 51. Sardis, 13. Anniston, 41. Pleasant Grove, 13. Ayrton at Dale County was canceled. They had bad, bad weather in the Wiregrass last night. Asheville, 41. Decatur, 17. Bibb County, 22. Northridge, 21. Bluntstown, Florida, 38. W.S. Neal, 7. Brooks, 38. Lauderdale County, 21. Bowden, Georgia, 7. Booker T. Washington, 0. Cherokee County, 28. Shades Valley, 13. Claiborne County, 41. Walter Welburn, 12. Daughters of the American Revolution, 62. Asbury, 6. Deschler, 57. Colbert County, 16. East Lawrence, 28. Columbia, 24. And Columbia now has lost 96 games in a row. They had a chance to win this game on the last play of the game, scored a touchdown, but it was called back due to a holding.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're really doing a great job trying to get that program going up there. And, you know, when you do that, Randy, you lose your place. So We're going to go to Fairfield 51, Selma 24, Good Hope 41, Addison 6, Hamilton 55, Selegant 6, Hanley 15, Lynette 13, Hatton 48, Westminster Christian 13, Headland at Ashford again, a Wiregrass game canceled due to weather, Hoax Bluff 49, Glencoe 21, Hope 39, Pickens Academy 7, Jackson 33, LaFleur 0, Madison Academy 34, Arab 27, New Brockton 20, Monroe County 12, Op 48, Destin, Florida 19, Pike County 21, Carroll 14, Plainview 34, Sylvania 7, Satsuma 31, St. Luke's Episcopal 20, Westbrook Christian 49, Munford 0, and White Plains 40, Horseshoe Bend 7.
Let's move to Class 3A, Clemens 21, Tanner 18, Collinsville 63, Sandrock 18, Cottage Hill Christian over Choctaw County 44-0, Flomaton defeats Jay 21-7, Jay out of Florida, Gordo 1, Pickens County 0, that's a forfeit, Greensboro 23, RC Hatch 0, Hillcrest Evergreen 27, Greenville 20, J.B. Pennington 36, Cleveland 28, is that named after you? Mobile Christian 52, St. Stanislaus out of Mississippi 0, Ohatchee 42, Donahoe 6, Phil Campbell 26, Hackleburg 10, Piedmont 61, B.B. Comer 0, Randolph County 34, Ranburn 7, Sheffield 46, Waterloo 18, Slocum over Geneva 28-20, Southside Selma, no problem with Keith, 56-12, the final there. Trinity Presbyterian 34, St. James 28, Vinemont 28, West End 0, Whiteburg Christian 31, Gadsden 6, Wicksburg 37, Delville 13, and Winfield over Fayette County 21-14.
In Class 2A, Abbeville 54, Barber County 0, Baker, Florida 43, Houston County 16, Central Coosa of Hanover 46, Sachs 19, Chickasaw 48, Fruitdale 20, Clark County 26, Millery 7, Cold Springs 36, Lynn 12, Coosa Christian 25, Blount 14, Fontville 22, Colbert House, Colbert Heights 12, Goshen 48, 89 is going to be upset, Goshen 48, Elba 21, Greene County 42, Sumter Central 6, Highland Home 24, Brantley 18, Isabella 28, Billingsley 16, J.U. Blackshire 24, XL 19, Lexington 56, Wilson 20, Lochapoka 50, Beulah 6, Luverne 48, Montgomery Academy 49, wow. North Sand Mountain 49, Valley Head 0, Pisgah 34, Randolph 14, Pleasant Valley 54, Woodland 27, Red Bay 42, Belmont, Mississippi 22, Real Town 14, Dadeville 0. They didn't play that second half. Game was called due to weather there. Sampson 30, Kinston 26, Starktown 40, Vena 12, Vincent 40, Childersburg 15, and Winston County 22, Curry 0.
All right, let's go to 1A, Otaga County 21, Prattville Christian 20, Barry 16, Lamar County 14, Brilliant over Phillips 30-28, the final there. Elwood Christian 20, Central Haneyville. Did I say Haneyville? Citra Haneyville 18, Fayetteville 59, Ragland 12, Florella 33, Bayshore Christian 0, Hubbardville, no problem with Holy Spirit Catholic 60-6, the final. Leroy over Washington County 44-14, Maplesville 52, Holtville 14, McIntosh 64, Calhoun 0, McKenzie 50, J.F. Shields 6, Red Level 24, Lafayette 20, South Choctaw 14, Linden 8, Spring Garden over Cedar Bluff 42-14, Sweetwater 46, Georgiana 12, University Charter 48, Marengo 0, Verbena gets the win over Galesville 14-6, Victoria Christian 31, Francis Marion 14, Wadley 35, Glenwood 21, Winterboro 31, Weaver 20, and Woodville 36, Brantley Mountain 18. Coach, we got through all of those, and we still have 2 minutes left.
You know, Randy, I think we need to speak on the issue of the game Murphy had last night against Williamson.
Yep.
You and I have been doing radio together for a long, long time, on and off, but I can tell you we've never had a 100-0 score. I'm not here to defend anybody. I'm not here to blame anybody. But I do want to give you some of the things that happened during that game. Williamson has a tremendous, tremendous football team. I mean a tremendous football team, and that's been built over a period of about 10, 11 years there by Antonio Coleman, who's done a wonderful job there. He went to the officials, Coach Coleman went to the officials at halftime and said, what can we do to speed this game up? They asked him if he'd like to go to eight-minute quarters. He said he would. So then they went to the Murphy coach, as was reported this morning by Ben Thomas, who is as accurate as the day is long, I can promise you. And Sherman, Coach Williams, did not want to play eight-minute quarters. So for whatever reason, they didn't run the clock. And I think it is protocol to run the clock
at a certain point.
Yeah. And so I don't know about that. We'll talk to Robert Lowe's today and find out the ramifications of that. We got background music. Is that, are we going to a break?
We're going to a break.
Okay.
Going to a break. Hey, before we do that, real quick, I got to say happy birthday to my brother-in-law, Dwayne Weaver. Yeah. 65th birthday today. You're an old man. You're an old man. All right, we take a timeout. When we come back, we visit with David Faulkner, McGill Tulin. We'll talk some Yellow Jacket football right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Mark Glassner. The man I see eye to eye with has got the weekend off and much deserved, no doubt about it. He works all the time, Coach. But, hey, glad to have you here with us. Time to go to a Boudreaux's Cajun Grill and welcome in Coach David Faulkner, the head football coach for the Yellow Jackets of McGill Tulin. Coach, congratulations. A great win last night, 42-7 over Davidson. Congrats.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I kept David up late last night talking on the phone to him, so I know he's just now getting up and Coach, I know. I apologize. I probably kept you late last night, but congratulations on a really good win. And you know, when you talk about it, the first half, all the things that I get from the first half, you really had a great first half. Blaine really had a great first half. Your quarterback. So talk just a little bit about that first half and coming out and getting after a pretty salty Davidson football team. John Lambert's has had a good season so far, and that's a big win, I think, for McGill.
Yeah, John and his staff, they do a really good job, and, you know, they pose a lot of different issues for you with their athleticism and some of the things that they do. And, you know, we had struggled the last few weeks kind of getting off to a fast start, which is kind of been a trademark for us, you know, and we just hadn't been doing that, and that was kind of our challenge all week to our kids, was that we needed to get off to a fast start in all three phases and kind of get the game going our way early, and I thought our kids responded really well to that. We took the open drive and went and scored and got a stop, and then I think we turned it over on downs maybe on the second drive, but after that we scored every possession in the first half, and it was just really a good deal for us and our kids to kind of come in and create some momentum early and get the ball rolling in our favor, and I was really proud of them for answering the challenge to do that.
Let me say this first of all before we go any further. David and all the McGill coaches throughout the year are presented by Will2, and we appreciate what Will2 does, and especially you got a great group of people over there at McGill Tulin. And David, talk just a little bit about as you go through this season and you go through the ups and downs of football season. Talk just a little bit about midseason and evaluation and what you and your coaches do as an evaluation process to try to clean up things that you want to clean up and keep things status quo as you want kept status quo.
Yeah, I think when you're in coaching, you know, you're in the people management business more than you are anything, and you're in constant evaluation of your people and your process and kind of what you're trying to do from, you know, day to day and week to week. And I think we're no different. We've tried to every team is different, even if you have returning, you know, a good amount of returning starters. We have a veteran bunch back on defense, and they've played really well for us all year. We've played winning defense every week, you know, pretty much, but we've struggled offensively. So we've just tried to come in and kind of figure out what our formula is. You know, there's ways to win football games, but there's different ways to do it as well. And we just had to kind of figure out what our formula is offensively. So we're in that constant evaluation of that and trying to get our people in the right place and try to figure out how to call plays to get our guys the ball that need to touch the ball. And, you know, I think we're just constantly evolving in that. And, you just kind of stay in that. Is this working? Do we need to continue doing this, or do we need to change some things? And, you know, like I said, that's just kind of the world of coaching there.
We're talking with head football coach for the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets, Coach David Faulkner. Coach, you know, we talk about the skill players quite a bit, and we'll talk about them in just a second. But let's talk – when you get 42 points, you got to give that front line a little credit. Talk about your offensive front line.
Yeah, you know, they've done a real good job. And you know, obviously Jeff coaches those guys, and he does a great job with them. But we're young up front, and, man, we seem to have – very few injuries, but the injuries we have had so far this year have been in the offensive line. So I don't know that we've had the same starting five yet, to be honest with you. You know, and last night we were down our two tackles, so we had to readjust the front and get that figured out and who's going to play where to get your best five out there. And I thought those guys did really well with that. I thought our kids did a great job coming in and just understanding what they needed to do and what we were asking them to do. And, you know, just really proud of those guys up front for the way they answered the call last night.
We're talking to Coach David Faulkner of McGill-Tulane, who's brought to you by Will2. And when you look at what's upcoming, first of all, you've got an open week. And that's really my earlier question about evaluation. After talking to coaches for the last, I don't know, 25 years, one of the things that they really love to do during an open week is to do so much self-evaluation. And we used to do that between staff. You know, we'd have the offense looks to defense, the defense looks to the offense. But to now, David, you've got so much information fed to you through huddle that you almost can just – go strictly to huddle and see all the deficiencies you have and all the positives you have on both offense and defense.
Yeah, the film obviously is a very valuable teaching tool, and we use that daily to teach our players and, like you said, to gather information from a coach's standpoint. And, you know, our focus in the bye week is going to be on McGill and kind of what we need to do in order to improve in some areas, or maybe we've got some guys now that maybe need to play a little more, or maybe we've got some guys that need to play a little less, you know, just based on what they've done the first half of the season. So we'll definitely go in and look at those things, and we may peek at an upcoming opponent or two a little bit during the week, but our main focus is going to be on McGill this week, and what do we need to do to play better football down the stretch and give ourselves a chance to be a playoff team.
Coach, talk about your staff a little bit, because every time we get a chance to talk to you, we want to highlight your staff. Coach, you've got some outstanding coaches working on your staff and around your staff. Let's highlight some of those guys.
Well, you know, we do, and we've got a really good mix. I said probably one of the best things that we got at McGill is we got some quality veteran coaches with our defensive coordinator, Tracy Buckhannon, and our O-line coach, Jeff Williams. I mean, I think everybody understands the job that they do. And then, you know, we've got Mike Doriot, who coaches running backs, has coached a long time. And he and Coach Atkins, Scott Atkins, were with Ron Lee. And I think anybody that knows Coach Lee knows what kind of man and coach he is. So those guys are really good ball coaches that come in and help us and do a great job there. And then, you know, Ashley Johnson does linebackers for us, and Ashley's been in this area a long time and has been a head coach and a coordinator. So he's got a lot of experience and brings a lot of knowledge to the table in that aspect. And then you know, our young coaches, man, they kind of keep us old guys energized and going, and kind of bring some juice to the table, as they say, you know, with you know, and we've got some young guys defensively. Andrew Crenshaw, you know, heads up our special teams, and he's done a great job with that, and our defensive backs. And I got two guys that played for us, you know, Donnie Brady and Tripp Cobb, who played at McGill. And, you know, Donnie does defensive line, and Tripp does the, you know, the slot receivers. He does a they both of those guys do an outstanding job, and really excited about what they bring to the table. And they understand McGill, too, so they help me a lot of times with that, and have definitely helped me my first few years there, kind of getting an understanding of McGill and how that works and what it's like there. And then, you know, Connor Collier does a outstanding job. He works with special teams as well and does an outstanding job with our outside receivers. And, I think Connor's got a big future as a future coordinator and a head coach in his future. He does a great job for us. And, you know, and then we've got some volunteer guys with Dominic Peltway and Steve Fair that come in and help us. And, you know, so we've and those guys have been in coaching around ball a real long time. And I hope I didn't leave anybody out, but we've got a good staff. And I tell people this all the time. They're good football coaches, and you hear this all the time. But they're even better men, and I think that's just not a cliche. That's true with these guys, and I enjoy coming to work with them every day. I don't know if they enjoy being around me all the time, but I enjoy coming to work with them every day, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate you, and you know it. This is a day where I hope you can get some rest. There's going to be some great college football games on, and I hope you can get some rest and rejuvenate.
Well, I appreciate it. I've had a little cold, been under the weather, so my voice sounds like this. But, yeah, we're gonna get rested up, and then we'll be back to work Monday and see if we can improve and try to get ourselves ready to make a run at a playoff spot.
Coach, I appreciate it. Enjoy your time off, and we look forward to talking with you again next week.
Well, thank y'all, and I appreciate what y'all do for high school football and highlighting our sport and our kids, and that's a big deal, and I appreciate y'all doing that.
All right, Coach. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Coach. God bless.
Right there, David Faulkner, the head football coach for McGill Tulane. Yes, sir. I had much needed weekend off, and we say weekend off, Coach. They're not taking the weekend off; they're working.
No, they don't. They never. High school coaches never stop. They never stop, and you know that's one of the things that excites me about the entire picture of Mobile Baldwin County and even Sylacauga and Talladega County area. We've got some young coaches that are really knocking it out of the park, running their programs, not necessarily wins and losses as much as people expect, but really running programs the way they need to be ran.
Well, he's got a wall that he's going to hit here after he gets back from that open. He's got Blount, St. Paul's. Let's see, he'll be at Blount, he'll be at St. Paul's, then he'll host Spanish Fort and host Baldwin County. So got some pretty good ball games coming up.
Has he got Sarah Land somewhere in there? He's
already played Sarah Land. Okay. They lost that one, 43-10. All right.
Good football team.
Yeah, ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, is it already time for the Camp Gray segment? No, the leadership segment. All right. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. You know, that PSA right there is perfect. It falls right in line with what we want to do right now. And we want to give this week's True Grit Award. What is a True Grit Award? Well, it's the coaches have picked a person that maybe is not always the number one player on the team. Maybe he's a second teamer. maybe he's a first team, maybe plays on the first team, but he's always there. He always gives 100%, and he is a leader on that team. And he always, always, Coach, plays as hard as he can, practices as hard as he can. And we've got four recipients of the True Grit Award, and that's sponsored by Blue Water Millworks. And let me mention, from Spanish Fort, Carter Carlisle gets it for Spanish Fort. So congratulations to Carter. And from Alma Bryant High School, Tavian, and you're going to have to help me with this, Savion?
That's right.
Savion?
Yeah.
Okay. So congratulations to him. And then from Fairhope, Otis Bennett gets the True Grit Award. And from St. Paul's, Bo Ladner. So four great recipients of the True Grit Award, Coach.
Well, and we certainly appreciate Blue Water sponsoring that and coming on board and doing everything they can to highlight. Could be a starter, may not be a starter.
Right.
Just that person that actually shows that true grit from the coaching staff's perspective. And you know, Randy, when when you get around these coaches, one of the things that coaches always talk about amongst themselves is the practice personality of their players.
Right.
You know, they're doing everything they can to be the best they can and to help their teammates be the best they can. And that's what this True Grit Award is about. And congratulations to all the winners this week. We'll have four more next week.
Yeah, no doubt. And, Coach, you know, you've been coaching a long time. You know, you can go probably reflect back on a bunch of these kids that you've coached that said, wow, that's definitely a winner for this award.
There's a bunch of them, Randy, and you're exactly right. You know, our leadership segment today, Randy, I've spent a lot of time this week, and maybe idle time, but I spent a lot of time thinking about what you and I witnessed at Ladd People Stadium last week.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about leadership, I think more times than not, coaches, and this is not a criticism of anybody or any situation, but I think coaches, when we're together, we gather and gain more information than when people are sending emails and text messages and all that to us. You know, I don't know if the Mobile County Public School System, if they get all their athletic directors and head football coaches together at any point in time during the year and just have that session to where this is what we want to do. These are priority items that we want to emphasize to the leaders of our athletic programs in our schools. And the people that are running these programs, they need to be on top. And again, not pointing fingers anywhere for anybody. This is for all coaches, and this is what leadership is about. And we certainly appreciate GoPest and all that they do for our community as a subsidiary of 68 Ventures. But I just think that at some point in time, we've all got to sit down as coaches, ADs, and principals and go over the priorities that we have in our athletic programs. And I think safety has got to be the number one priority. With absolutely nothing any more important than the safety of our children. And so in so doing that and so being a part of that, one of the things that impressed me the most when we went to UMS Wright was Terry Curtis always, once a month, had a head coaches meeting of all the sports, not just a couple of sports, all of them. And every head coach was mandated to be there. And if you weren't there, there better be a really good reason that you weren't in that meeting. And in those meetings, what we were told every time we met, once a month, sometimes twice a month, was the protocol that needs to be followed in running our particular program. And safety was always the first priority. So I would think when you're going to play a football game that the number one priority, again, is the safety, that you're going to have an ambulance at every game. I just think that that's got to be a priority. And if it's not a written priority that is gone over with by the coaches, the principals, and the athletic directors, I think we're leaving out one of the most important aspects of our job. So in leadership, we always try to communicate. And I think communication is so valuable when it comes to these kind of situations. Everybody needs to be on the same page with that. And for some reason, there was a lack of communication at some point in time for there not to be an ambulance at Ladd People Stadium last Saturday.
Coach, I couldn't agree with you more.
Last Thursday night.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think if you look at most of the coaches in our area, they're going to make sure, whether it's a varsity game or a JV game, they're going to make sure that if something should happen, whether it be with a player, a cheerleader, someone in the band, a fan, a coach, if you're there, someone, if you have an accident for whatever it is, and that was just an anomaly.
Yeah.
With David Anders.
Yeah.
Just a weird accident.
Yeah.
Okay. But if somebody's there, if something happens like that, somebody's there to take care of them. Mark Laster is a very good example.
Well, best example we can give.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to ever, whether it be a fan, a band member, a cheerleader, a police officer, a reporter, an evaluator, I don't want anybody not to feel safe when they're at a football game.
It really was tough because we sat there and waited. They stopped the game. I mean, it was a 30-35 minute delay in the game last Thursday night at Ladd People Stadium. With Spanish Ford and Murphy, and waiting for that ambulance to get there.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that it had been there within a matter of 10 minutes. That wasn't the case. We sat right there and watched it.
Okay?
And it finally got there. And
it really wasn't an ambulance, Randy. It was a fire truck. And then the fire medics from that fire station rescue. Remember the old show on TV? The rescue team. So there's really an ambulance. There was not an ambulance. That was really the fire department that came and responded and transported him to the hospital.
Here's what I hope. If a principal, a coach, listening to the show, get one thing out of today's show, safety. Coach, you nailed it. Safety, okay? And confidence knowing that if I go to a ball game, something should happen.
Yep.
I'm going to be taken care of pretty quick.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the budgets are. I don't know how that works. I'm not a coach. Y'all are. That's got to be put in. That's got to be a line item every year.
You know, T.R. Miller and UMS Wright played last night. But a year ago, they opened the season, and a young man was down. And they knew. Stacy Harrelson was just like Rob Milam in that he rushed to the scene, did everything he could. There was an ambulance right there. They got him out of the stadium, got him to the hospital, probably saved his life.
Right, right.
That's all I'm saying. Safety's got to be our number one priority.
No doubt. All right, first hour coming and going. Second hour coming up next. You won't want to miss it. A Hall of Famer. Coach, you got a Hall of Famer coming up. Yes,
absolutely.
You do. Coach Glenn Vickery, he's up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Encore is dedicated to providing comprehensive rehabilitation to over 100 locations across Alabama and Mississippi. Encore is also committed to giving back to the community. Encore is a national sponsor of the Distinguished Young Women Scholarship Program. Encore is also a corporate sponsor of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, providing athletic training coverage for every boys and girls state championship. Encore cares about your health and your community. For a convenient location near you, call 947-3410. 947-3410.
All right, now, you got to listen. Crawfish etouffee, gumbo, blackened catfish, Mardi Gras pasta, voodoo pasta, blackened redfish, homemade key lime pie. Oh, my, oh, my. Now, are you hungry? I'm hungry. We got your fix. Check us out online at BoudreausCajunGrill.com. You've got to come by and see us. South of I-10 on Highway 98, Boudreaux's Cajun Grill in Daphne.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome in to the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, as we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. We're happy to be with you, as I am Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland. And, Coach, I said at the beginning of the first hour, you know, Meatloaf had a real good song. It's called Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. And Coach Mark Lasher's not here today, so you got two out of three.
That's funny, you know. And this next guy, Randy, we're going to do something that we don't do very often.
Mm-mm.
The 9 o'clock hour, we usually keep a guest for a segment. We're going to keep this guy, a special guy, for two segments. And there's a reason for that, because you have put restrictions on Coach.
Well, Coach, as a matter of fact, we just got it off the fax machine. He has signed the contract, and it is that we had a minimum of 8 minutes, a maximum of 20.
Yes.
He has agreed to that. He has faxed it in. So let me just welcome into our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line, Coach Glenn Vickery on the line, inducted into the Davidson Hall of Fame last night. Coach, congratulations, and, man, it is good to talk with you, my friend.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show. It's been a while, and I enjoy listening. And, you know, me, I always enjoy talking. So thank you for having me on. Thank you very much. It was a big honor last night. I'm very proud.
You know, we have a little delay from when we ask a question or make a comment, and it's almost kind of like they're having to gather their thoughts to see how to answer us. I'm not worried about that with Coach Vic, because I promise
no.
you, Coach Vic has got the answer. He's got the answer. But I want to tell you folks around the state a little bit about Glenn Vickery, one of my favorite guys ever. Coached with him at Daphne with a mentor of both of ours, Steve Savarese. This guy, Randy, he's only 3 years older than us, and we're really a little more than that for you. For me, he's only 3 years older, but, man, he was a heck of an athlete now. He played at BC Rain for a legendary coach. And when you talk about Mr. Ben Glover, not only was Ben Glover his football coach, but he was also his Sunday school teacher. Isn't that right, Coach?
Yes, he was. He was. Riverside Baptist.
Well.
I started a fight. I accidentally started a fight against Satsuma when I was a sophomore. It was a bad fight in the stands.
Accidentally, I got you.
We got put on probation, and so after the weekend, he would say he would remind me before the game, don't start a fight. Then later that weekend, then I'll see you in Sunday school. And that was kind of man he was. And it's kind of man, you know, I read something about somebody didn't want to let somebody down, and he was that kind of coach that you didn't want to let down. So I'll let you talk, because you know me. I'll take over the show, Randy, but go ahead.
that's really why we wanted you on this morning, really to honor you. But since Mark is not here, it gives Randy and I a chance to really learn and to gain information, because you are full of information, Coach, and we love having you on. And don't take that personal about talking, because believe me, we've got guests on statewide that when they come on, you know, we just sit here and
we just listen.
We just soak it in. And
that's exactly right.
That's what we want to do. We want to be a sponge this morning. I think I'm trying to remember all this because I've known you for so long and loved you for even longer time. But you originally signed a South baseball scholarship with South Alabama, but you never showed up there. Instead, you got drafted by, I think, Montreal. And, boy, life was good. So talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. In the spring of 19, Coach Stanky was with the White Sox. And then in the spring of 69, he came to – I'm not exactly sure when he came, but it was in the spring of 69 was his first recruiting season. And he was really focused on the Mobile area. You know, baseball was really good. And he went after a lot of Mobile people. A lot of people don't remember this, that Jim Crawford, his trusted assistant, was actually for years the head baseball coach at Vigor, and he was a great high school coach.
I
remember
that.
Going in. Yeah, he had a left-hander named Roy Nelson. I can remember like yesterday. They played at Fagerson Park, and they were 4A school back in the day. There was no 6A. We were 3A, so we were a little bit of an underdog. And it was a proud moment for me because that kid was a good player. Viger was a good baseball team, and in the lower ranked BC Rainbows, we came out with a win. So Coach Crawford and was the baseball coach at Viger, and so they recruited me pretty hard. And you know, in those days, nobody recruited too hard, but it was Coach Baird was at Auburn, and there was, you know, the SEC was not what it is today. A lot of the local kids, University of New Orleans, Tulane, you know, LSU had a good program, and of course Mississippi State. But outside of that, I mean, if you really want to go play baseball at that level, you would go to Troy, you know, known as Troy State then. I mean, those schools really put
Chase Riddle,
as you know. Yeah, Chase Riddle. I've had a lot of big wins. You're going to get me sidetracked. Had a lot of big wins because of the great players, but one of the greatest wins I ever had, of course, beating Kentucky, that was good in baseball, but my roommate. But beating Chase Riddle at Troy, that was huge. So at spring game, we did that. And, you know, that's like beating the Yankees. They were good. And so going back to your question, I was probably the second or third guy Coach Stanky signed. And later on, my cousin Lou, I know Randy worked with Lou. Lou called me and said, you got a good shot to be drafted. And so the year before, he called me and said that, and he said, "Are you sure you want to play football?" And I said, "Yeah, that wasn't a choice, being drafted or playing football. I was going to do both." So anyway, I was drafted and signed in June and flew out to Bradenton, Florida for the Gulf Coast League and hung out with my first teammates on that in the Gulf Coast League in Bradenton. We played in Sarasota, Pompano Beach, you know, those kind of places.
We're visiting with Coach Glenn Vickery, and Coach, I'm glad you brought up Lou's name because I was going to ask you about Lou. Of course, Lou Vickery played in the New York Yankee and St. Louis Cardinal organization. How influential mm-hmm. was he in your baseball, growing up playing baseball, how influential was Lou in that?
Yeah. You know, Lou was quite a bit older than I was, but, you know, always supportive. And it was sort of in our family genes, you know. We had three or four of us that, you know, his brother was a catcher, and actually for the Senators, we had another cousin that played at Mississippi State and signed pro ball and hit 340, but decided he'd rather be in Atmore, Alabama, and married. And there was three or four of us that it was sort of instinctively a story that later in years, I didn't grow up with those guys. So we're a little bit separated in age and distance. Well, we have this Vickery reunion where a lot of left-handers and a lot of big ears and a lot of folks like to eat. Well, those guys grew up breaking a corn cob in half and using a mop handle for a bat, and then I'm out there in front of all my two children, and we're gonna hit this, and that corn cob, you think a wiffle ball darts, this corn cob, it darted, it went up. He thought Bill Negro had the corn cob. Well, here I was. I said, you know, I could hit, but I don't know about no half a corn cob that's darting up and down. Well, sure enough, I made good contact, and I didn't embarrass myself. So those guys, that whole matter of fact, a book just came out. Coach says, and there's, you know, another thing you may or may not remember, but our cousin Rita Vickery married into a baseball family and the Millers, and became the, you know, winning the coach over at GW Long, replacing Kevin Rayleigh, and was now his son there. So I actually coached Wayne Abel, who hit 19 home runs to break the record, and then one of our cousins during his tenure hit 30, broke the next record. So baseball was sort of a part of what we did, you know, in our family. And Lou is inspirational in a lot of ways. His books is, you know, he just, you know, he has more. I got more than one side. Lou has about 40 sides, and I'm going to go with, I may have had three pitches in life, but he has about 17. Yeah, and another interesting story, you know, here's how things change. So Lou gets a picture made.
Hey, Coach, we got to take a hard break. Let's take that. You keep that thought, all right? When we come back, we're going to pick it up right there. All right? We're visiting with Coach Glenn Vickery. I love it. Don't go anywhere. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
And we certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleland. Coach Mark Laster with a weekend off, and we got Coach Glenn Vickery on the line with us. We're going to get back to him in just a second. But, Rick, you know, we got some great sponsors of the show. One that we love to talk about and who is actually bringing us today, Coach Glenn Vickery, is Premier Collision. They're located at 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile. You can give them a call, 251-478-4500. It doesn't matter if you have a ding to a major collision. They are going to get you taken care of and make your vehicle look brand new. We've all experienced it.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, they will take care of you. Chris, Kim, Tyler, wonderful people. Premier Collision, tell them we sent you. Give them a call at 251-478-4500. All right, Rick, Coach Glenn Vickery on the line with us on our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. All right, Coach, whenever we left you just a moment ago, you were talking about, you had a story on Lou. Mm-hmm. I want you to continue with that thought.
Yep. I love commercials, but I was worried I was going to miss the Alabama-Georgia kickoff. They're getting hungry, but that's good. I'm glad you got people that love you too and sponsor you. Maybe the second half before we get home. All right, so look, before I get to Lou, I'm out here watching my 4-year-old grandson. He just scored right here in front of me. But here's what it reminds me of, and I go back to Lou, is these kids having so much fun. And in the early years of my coaching career, you shouldn't make no money. And so I was refereed all Saturday and Tuesday night. And Saturday, Mims Park was a dirt pit back in those days. And these little bitty 6-year-old kids are playing. And every once in a while, a parent, hey, ref, open your eyes. You know how that goes, Cleve. And open your eyes. And here's a little kid. He's got snot boogers. He's got his face covered. He looks up at me and he said, Mr. Ref, who's winning? I mean, it's just ironic. You know, the parents are all serious. The little kids. And like this little soccer game, there's no goalie. They just, you know, it's an innocent sport, and you sure learn a lot watching these little fellas. All right, so Lou Vickery is in spring training with the Yankees, and his locker was near Mantle, and Mickey Mantle, all our heroes, who brought him some new stuff because Lou was not didn't have a, you know, in those days you signed something and you got gloves or shoes even then, and so Mick brought him stuff up. And then one day he gets this picture made, and he's between Mantle and Maris. And, you know, I remember being around some very, very good baseball players, and one of my favorite of all time was Larry Doby. I mentioned that to say this. Everybody knows Jackie Robinson. Larry Doby was the first black man in the American League. Well, he was our hitting coach. Lou Burdette was our pitching coach. But, you know, in those days you didn't have a phone, number one. And number two, it just wasn't something you did, walk around, hey, let me get your picture. That was sort of an unsocial thing to do in those days for guys especially. And, you know, you just learned so much. But Lou was, you know, he's been a part of the Scambia County Atmore High School in his days, Hall of Fame. And so to help raise money, he gives them his picture. You know, he just gave it away for them to raise money years ago. And there he is between Mantle and Maris. I mean, that'd be pretty nice to have on your wall. And
that's awesome.
That side of the family that's was awesome. Really good. My mother's side, my Drew Tranquil for the Chiefs, Notre Dame captain. That side of the family was a Lou. They're all good in every sport. But Drew is a – and Joey Jones comes from my mother's side of the family, pretty good player. Mm. And Drew Tranquil comes from the other King family that's from Frisco City. You know, and my cousin played for Lefty, and he played for, you know, and my mother grew up with W.C. Major. So it sort of run, you know, they watched a few soap operas, but it wasn't a lot of talk about much else. And growing up on two sides of the family. I'm not a country boy, but my folks here were country, Frisco City and Huxford, Alabama, and Atmore.
Well, I've been to all those places. I played softball in Huxford, Alabama, and I can tell you right now, they know how to play. They know how to play. Yeah. They definitely know how to play. I want to talk a little bit about
distinct smell from the lumber. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah. I want to talk about your coaching career because as great as you were as an athlete, and you were a tremendous athlete, and if I'm not mistaken, back when you signed with the Expos, just as a sidebar, in your contract, did that pay for your college education? Because I know when the Reds signed Clay, that was a big deal to us for him to get the rest of his education paid for.
They did, and they did pay for it. So that was certainly a bonus to everything. You know, looking back, there was all that together in today's money would be around $100,000. I don't say that braggingly because in today's world, that's not a lot of money. But in that day, you know, it was
right.
It was a good contract. I was, you know, and the fact that paying for my college was really important to my family, to my parents, of course. And I got a good picture I'd send you guys of me and Coach Stanky and Coach Crawford on my signing day. That was good to see. I used to share that with Coach K Flaherty, you know, Coach K Stanky, K Stanky Flaherty, and it's a good picture of her dad. And he was, what a genius in baseball he was. And I'll tell people, I could write in college maybe one page of a blue page little notebook. Coach Stanky could fill up notebooks full of baseball. He was, you know, that intelligent. And he allowed me to work out with him, guys, in the winter, you know. During the summer before I actually went to the Expos, all the Mobile guys, we gathered with Coach Crawford and practiced that. You know, back in those days, it was a field over by the PE building, you know, more enlarged Babe Ruth field at first. And then so Coach Stanky allowed me to work out and throw and run and be a part of his off-season workouts.
Well, Coach Stanky certainly had his own ideas about the strike system, and if your ideas as an umpire didn't fit his ideas as a ball and strike advocate, then he let you know about it. And as a young umpire, I certainly heard from Coach Stanky on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of some tongue lashings. Yeah. Go ahead.
Coach Stanky was, you know, had so much going for him, and you know, he was hard on pitchers. On your third walk, you walk three, you coming out. He said, well, blah, blah, blah. Tell Stumpke, hey, you don't like it. Well, his other phrase was, take I-10 West. And, you know, he was old school, and it worked. I mean, you could do it. These kids today don't know anything about old school, not at all. And another interesting story, when I was at my – last night with my Davidson crew and many of the people going in, not coaches but players, were from the class of 82, which, you know, to us seems like a couple of weeks ago. But so they asked me a question. So thinking back, so the lineage of Davidson baseball, and for the listeners who don't know, it was tremendous what went through there. So here's a list of the coaches for a few years. Head baseball coach at Davidson High School, Ed Lathan, Ronnie Powell, Glenn Vickery, Jody Daniels, and Dan Jennings. That was the order.
Wow.
For a while. Jody Daniels did his student teaching for me, and I'll never forget, Cleve, we had started practice at Matthews, and Jody got there early, and I said, hey, dude, you got Auburn, dude. What you doing over here? He said, Coach Baird told Coach Kittrell, if Pete Tolbert showed up to umpire, we getting it back on the bus. Well, Jody said, well, Coach Baird walked out, and there was Pete Tolbert, and they got back on the bus, didn't play the game, and went to Auburn.
And so, that's a true story. A true story. You're right.
It is true. Yeah, got on the bus. Didn't throw one pitch. And the other story I share that I'm not very proud of, but so when I took Steve left Spring Hill and I took his job, and he took Coach Kittrell's job, and Ronnie was still at the Enterprise and later came with him. So it was me and Pelletier and my buddy Happy Boy. So we playing South. Before they did the red-blue fall scrimmage, we played a fall World Series where we traveled to South and they came to Spring Hill and we treated it 4 out of 7. And of course, you couldn't hear because Ricky Patterson was in the dugout for them. And but you know me, I ain't gonna back down to South Alabama or the Yankees if it's time for baseball. Yeah, if you hit one of our guys, we gonna hit one of your guys. And of course, they got up. I never get Ricky out of me. Come on, Glenn, it's the fall. I said, well, you should hit Darwin Murphy in the back. I mean, he had a 200-foot home run over left field fence, so you don't drill a kid for that.
Coach.
So, but anyway, go to the fall.
Hey, we got to do this. We got to do this as a second part of the Glenn Vickery era, and we're going to do that maybe next week. So you just stay tuned.
Are you telling me, Randy, to get off? I'm going to tell you like I told
we got
Liz Vannon and Mark Heimy. If you're going to call me at 5:30, and they did, I ain't going to be on for 5 minutes now. I said, I love you. I used to do the ball games with them. I said, I ain't going to stay for 5 minutes, dude. So anyway, what you want me to do, hang up? I'll hang up.
We love you, Dick.
Coach Glenn Vickery, always good. We got to get him in here.
I listen to y'all longer. I didn't hang up on the game. I love y'all guys. Just call me anytime.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, and I just want to say, people, we don't talk much about those Davis and Warriors as we should. Those were great years for me and Nancy. My daughter was born when we were there. Michael learned to play wiffle ball with Kevin Raley. And we loved our time with the Warriors. And I love Davidson and Mr. Copeland and all those kids last night I had a chance to visit with.
Thank you, Coach.
Y'all going to say goodbye or what are we going to do here?
We're off the air. Goodbye. We love you.
Love you guys.
Love you.
All right, buddy.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
That's some good jam right there. Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. I am Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster with a weekend off. And guys, it is time to go back to our Boudreaux's Cajun Grill guest line. And we're going to visit with Coach Bart Sessions, the head football coach for the Hurricanes of Alma Bryant. Coach, congratulations. Nice win last night over Citronelle, 18-13 the final on that. Played some good ball last night.
Yeah, thank you so much. Could not be more proud of our kids. Citronelle's is a really scrappy football team, and Coach Rowell and his staff do such a good job. Our kids kind of had some adversity to go through with some injuries stacking up from a couple of previous games, and really just showed a lot of resiliency. Just could not be more proud of the grit they showed and the toughness, and to go up there at Citronelle and get a win is always hard to do.
Amen. And Bart, now tell me this. Did you just about completely have to change offenses due to injuries and you put the single wing in it for this game?
We put a version of it. I'm not gonna offend the true single wing people because in 2 days I'm not sure exactly how much of any offense you can get installed. But we went through a situation where we played five quarterbacks in our previous game due to injury,
right.
And I've never experienced that in a game. We're five different people took snaps, so that was interesting to say the least. And we said, hey, how many are going to be available this week? Well, we knew two would not. And the third one was kind of back and forth. Early in the week, we felt pretty good about it. Then midweek, we were not so sure. So our offensive staff said, hey, we better have a great plan completely without them. And so they got in there on the board and, what 11 kids can we put on the field and run some semblance of an offense? A version of the single wing was kind of the answer we thought that gave us the best opportunity to maybe, get them lined up where we felt like they would line up. Now, you never know when you put something new like that in. And we put a freshman tailback in the game along with our traditional junior starting tailback, Jaden James, and a a freshman, and Anthony Sturgis technically will wind up at quarterback. And, heck, most of the time had a freshman H-back or wing-back in the game, along with our senior Jackson Miller, and put another offensive lineman in the game, Parker McClung, got in and started at one offensive line position and kind of went unbalanced and tried to give them a formation we felt like would be somewhat difficult to line up to, and ran really probably three run plays out of that. We had a little bit of motion. We could window dress it, but basically it's three plays. Those three plays, we pretty much stayed in that.
That's Coach Bart Sessions, head football coach of the Alma Bryant Hurricanes. Then first name that comes up in my mind is Ricky Cawley. Because that sounds just like Rick Cawley. And nobody copies anybody. Us coaches never copy other coaches, but you obviously have some coaches that have worked with Rick. One of my favorite people, as a matter of fact. But go ahead.
Without a doubt, Rob Miller, who was on our staff this year, he coached with Rick at Davidson. I jokingly told him, y'all don't need to draw it all up. We just need to go back through my folders of when I had it all drawn up with our defense against it. And trying to solve all those things. And we did certainly borrow, steal. You know, coaches are the ultimate thieves. You know, nothing's original in this game. I mean, you know, all these newfangled spread guys, you go back and look at it. I mean, it has its roots in either option or single wingish stuff. You know, the Gus Malzahn Wildcat stuff is all goes back to single wing football. And, so all these young guys think they're inventing stuff. Hey, if you're as old as I am, you realize it's all been ran before. I mean, the trap is the trap. It doesn't matter, you know, what you call it nowadays, you know. But so we did certainly borrow a lot from Rick, and actually after we ran it for the first day, we reached out to him and said, "Hey, here's what we're trying to run. Here's the formation we're in. Can you give us some pointers?" And so we spent probably an hour on the phone with Rick, just picking his brain about the best way to block a play and those kind of things. And he was very gracious and spent some time with us. So it pays to not burn bridges, I guess. But Rick's a great friend of ours as well, and was very, like I said, very kind and gracious to take carve time out of his schedule where he's game planning for a big game to share some things with us.
You know, and that's Bart. Everybody that knows you loves you. And I can imagine you make a phone call to any coach anywhere in the state, and they're going to do everything they can to help you. But I love that what you and your staff did was you gave your kids the best opportunity to win, and you did it all for one purpose, to be the very best you could be. And that was certainly with a I want to call it, I don't mean this wrong, you do it with a gadget offense. And that to me is wonderful.
Yeah, you try to plan for every scenario in the off season, in the summer. I mean, countless hours of meeting, of dissecting. Yeah. If A happens, this is what we're going to do. Then if B happens, well, what if this position gets hurt? Well, what if couple of wideouts get hurt? Well, we got the safety that can come over and play wideout, and the safety was out that comes over and plays wideout. So, what you don't plan for is a senior safety, a senior linebacker, both 3-year starters to be out, a senior offensive lineman to be out, a sophomore offensive lineman to be out, and 3 quarterbacks to be out.
Wow.
I mean, I don't ever get to plan F, I guess, in our planning. There's just not enough hours in a day, I guess. Even though as a coach you try to be. So you have to add some time to a staff meeting in the midseason and figure out, hey, how do we try to get what we think is our best 11 tonight on the field? Now, that may be completely different next week because someone else may roll an ankle. And that's where, you know, to me, high school football is really what makes it so fun. Is you don't know. You know, I mean, kids get the flu. I mean, there's a million things that happen during the season that the public never really sees or realizes that impact how a high school football coach has to operate. You know, in the NFL and college, what do they do now? They give a injury report. So you know what they're dealing with there. And usually they're rolling the next NIL baby in and staying with what they're doing, you know. So high school coaches don't have that luxury, I guess. But fortunately, you know, I mean, I heard right before I come on, you know, I've had some great mentors that said, you know, hey, just find a way. And you had Glenn Vickery on, and that made me think back to my Davidson days where we had some early in the Davidson years when we were not very good. And we had some kids that Coach Vickery said they're destroying the culture of our team, so we got to get them out of our locker room. And we cut loose four or five of them that just would not do the right things, and we had to make some adjustments midseason. And heck, we got better after those adjustments. So I learned some valuable lessons from some great mentors. Hey, Rick, well, before I forget about this, now, great, fantastic job. Our offensive staff is down a man. We had a wide receiver coach who actually ruptured a quad tendon, had to have surgery. He's been out about a week and a half.
Oh.
So they were a man short on that side of the ball staff-wise. So really a three-man staff in 7A football, which is unheard of. Coach Connor Young, our OC, Coach Rob Miller coached pretty much, he and Coach Young coached all our skill kids this week. And then Coach Fricker, our O-line coach, just did a fantastic job of being adaptable and getting those kids ready to play. Wow. Probably need to talk about our defensive staff too. You know, Coach Travis Williams and Coach A.J. Johnston. Coach Easton, our linebacker coach, has been in Indiana. Unfortunately, he lost his brother. So our hearts have been with him all week. But those two guys, I mean, you know, we did hold them to 13. So we played really, really good defense. And that certainly helps as well when you don't have to go score 40 points with a new offense.
Hey, Bart, send me that information so I can get that out to all of our coaches.
I definitely will.
Make sure we
I'll send that to you. I'll take that to you when we get off.
All right, Bart, we appreciate you. Take care. God bless. And look forward to, the rest of this 7A Region 1, because Mary Montgomery's coming up for you soon. And I know that y'all are you're plugging in there, doing everything you can to get these wins. We're mighty proud of the job you do and the way you treat kids, pal. Thank you.
Hey, man, we appreciate you guys and big week this week with the Vikings. We're excited to compete against some guys. They do a great job out there and have a great football team. So it'll be a fun night.
Thank you, Coach. Good luck to you on Friday night.
All right, buddy.
All right, Bart Sessions right there, head football coach for the Hurricanes of Alma Bryant. They got a good one coming up. I mean, they got to take on Mary Montgomery. It'll be everything they need right there for sure. All right, take a time out. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with the Camp Gray segment. Rick's got that for you right after this.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, Randy, there's been a lot of great names in college football in the history of in our lifetime. But one of those guys is Bobby Dodd. And we got a story about Bobby Dodd today, but I want to share from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 11th and 12th verses today. But you, man of God, flee from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the title of this is Finish the Drill. And several years ago, many years ago really, when Bobby Dodd was the coach at Georgia Tech, Tech was beating Alabama by 5 points with only seconds remaining in the game. Coach Dodd told the quarterback to fall on the ball, but instead he dropped back to pass. The pass was intercepted by Alabama defensive back, who was very, very fast. He got by everyone, but the quarterback chased him down from behind to tackle him. Tech ends up winning the game. Afterwards, Coach Dodd was asked how such a slow quarterback outran this very fast defensive back. And Coach Dodd's reply was really prophetic. The defensive back was running for a touchdown, but the quarterback was running for his life. That is so true. Our perspective and our attitude about life will determine if we will finish the drill. It has become, however, the exception rather than the norm to see people willing not to finish the drill. To push forward in the Christian life is something that we're seeing more and more and more of. And to push forward without giving up, to avoid falling into the tendency, it helps us to remember the Christian life is a life of faith. Faith in Christ doesn't just give you the eternal life, but can sustain you through all situations. The Christian life is one of focus. As a player and even as a coach, we know that practice is essential in order to have success in the game. Focus on getting to know Christ better. That's an essential practice. The Christian life is a long-distance run. We have all seen people who have started out really strong in their faith but finish poorly. Commit to finishing strong in Christ. Work at honoring him daily. That story about Bobby Dodd is poetic in the sense that, you know, that quarterback didn't follow the directions that he was given to kneel down. Instead, he dropped back to throw a pass. I was thinking about when I read that last night, what would Nick Saban do if a quarterback?
First thing, the headsets would have come off. Then there'd have been some choice words.
I can tell you, you know, Randy, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a special on ESPN, The Life of Lane Kiffin. And you want to watch that because it chronicles the good, the bad, and the ugly in Lane's life. And who is, you know, come to be one of the fine, outstanding coaches in all of football. But that is certainly a story that I hope everybody can watch because it truly shows you the man, the father, the husband he wants to be, and instead of everything that we hear on the negative side. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to finish the race, finish the drill in a way that is pleasing and not discomforting to him, doing all the things that he used to do. He's now trying to finish the drill the right way. So,
yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. Rick, I got to just tell you real quick. You made me think of a story when we were playing Little League football over in Baymanette.
Yeah.
Jack Robertson was our coach. We were called the Dixie Darlings. And I was a quarterback. We ran the wishbone. We looked like Alabama.
I can see it.
And no one has scored on us. And we're playing White House Fork. And my now brother-in-law, David Verner, was playing cornerback. And we had a little hitch over there. I threw it. Vern steps in, intercepts it. We're at their 45. So he runs it back. And, man, you talk about – I know exactly what that quarterback was thinking. I chased down Vern, and I caught him at the 5-yard line. and then we pushed them back, and they didn't score. But you talking about running for your life?
Yeah.
Because I could hear it right now. Nobody scored on you. You threw an interception, pick six. But, yeah, so I get that. I get that. Good story, though.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Hey, Rick, we have gotten – it's a great show today. I got to tell you, we got to get Glenn Vickery in here.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And we'll do that maybe after football season, just sit here and let him tell stories. All right?
We should make him a member emeritus of the PSR staff. I'm telling you.
Hey, we got a great show coming up. Southern Fairways Sports Radio coming up in just a few moments. Bobby Hall is going to be in here with us. We swing in Bobby Hall, director of golf at Quail Creek. Ray Schuster, the director of instruction at the Country Club of Mobile, will be in. We're going to be talking with Billy Duren. He is the CEO of Threaded Fasteners. They got a big golf tournament coming up at Magnolia Grove. He'll tell you all about that. Mitch McConnell is in Athens getting set for that Alabama-Georgia game. He has been at the hotel talking with everybody, so he's got a lot to get into. We're going to cover college football. You got some big games today. LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Auburn. Alabama, Georgia, obviously. So some really good games going on, and you got the Ryder Cup going on.
Yeah,
so we got a full action-packed show, and I tell you, Rick, you know this. I say it's the fastest hour in radio. You better buckle up, and it certainly will be today as well.
Well, you guys do a great job, and I love Bobby's perspective. Sometimes he'll give you the perspective that we don't always see from his viewpoint, but he's got a clear vision, and we appreciate him doing that. But, Randy, you know, I miss Mark. I love the fanfare that you guys have. It's a great relationship, you two guys looking eye to eye. And as we sit here, we're watching the Ryder Cup, and, boy.
America's got to do something. USA's got to do something.
Yeah.
No doubt. But, again, and that's something we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, if the Euros are doing this for pride, USA is doing it for a little money, and I don't know. I would have. They're making millions of dollars already.
Yeah, they are.
What's $200,000 when you're talking about you pocketed already $2, $3, $4, $5 million? We're going to talk about that, though. We're going to get some perspective from Ray Schuster and Bobby Hall on that.
You know, when they talked to the captain of the European team,
Lou Donald,
yeah, and he made the comment, "Well, we play golf for the love of the game. I don't care what the Americans play for. I'm just telling you, there's all kind of shenanigans going on in this stuff. I'm not a particular fan of all the negative things that go on when we're playing in Europe and they're playing over here, but that's part of the game, I guess. Randy, thanks for a great show, and appreciate it. We miss Mark. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time, next week. God bless America.